Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first Total Endurance podcast. On the podcast today, we've got myself, Ken Bryson, and we've got Total Endurance coach Kevin Watson, and we also have our sports psychologist, Nick Frost. For those of you who haven't met Nick before, Nick's an experienced exercise and mental health coach. He's previously worked as a mental resilience coach and also as a well-being coach in the workplace. As well as that, he's also a regular sportive rider and he's currently training for his first Ironman distance race due to take place this summer, although there may be some uncertainty around that. So that's part of today's topic. So let's get straight into it. We're talking about dealing with uncertainty. There's obviously at the moment quite a lot of uncertainty around sporting events this year with the COVID pandemic still going on. But I think also we deal with uncertainty in every event. And there's uncertainty around what will the weather be like? Will I have a puncture on my bike? Will I perform at my best, etc.? So even without the uncertainty around events at the moment, there's always a degree of uncertainty, which as endurance athletes, we're dealing with around events. So, just to bring Kevin in on that, and maybe a little thought on what are we seeing with athletes' uncertainty at the moment? What are the uncertainties that people are trying to deal with just now?
So yeah, I think the first kind of, I suppose this time last year almost, that nobody really was expecting to certainly go down the path we went with. People just had that habit that they enter an event and the event takes place on the day, and very rarely do you see things changing. But obviously with the pandemic worldwide started, around about February, March, we started to see, things start to close down, borders being closed, flights being cancelled, and events starting to questions, certainly early season. But I think a lot of people were in the mindset that, oh, it's just the early season, by a few months of being in lockdown and we'll be back to normal by kind of summer, end of summer, and then nothing will have changed. But I think what we see with the summer as it went on, and events got moved to the end of summer, and then subsequently events got moved to 2021, where we are now. And I think people were a bit disheartened, a bit annoyed that events hadn't gone ahead. But I think people were like, well, it's just 1 year, it's not a big issue. So we're like, right, I'll just get fitter. I've got another year to train. I'll spend the winter getting strong, and then I'll come back a bit stronger for that event in 2021. And then we've kind of seen the last those 2, 3 months that 2021 is potentially heading similar to 2020, where events might not go ahead this year, or they're certainly getting pushed again the same way they did last year. So I think a lot of people are now getting to that mindset of what's the point of training, because actually, I might not be able to race, and I might not be able to kind of take part. So I might as well just not put myself through the training and just get kind of do other things. And I think that's certainly what I've seen with people struggling, certainly in the last month, that it's harder and harder to be motivated when you don't know if your event is actually going to go ahead or not.
Yeah, I totally agree, Kevin. I think the issue we have this year is we've already got the after effects of 2020. So everything's a lot rawer in people's minds, and it's kind of compounded, isn't it? So it's a lot higher stakes having 2 years in a row rather than just 2020, definitely.
Yeah, and I think last year, although it wasn't a great situation, it was new to everybody. Nobody had ever been through a situation like that before, and everybody kind of dealt with it. And also, the weather was good, so it was quite easy to get out and do your training. It's been much more difficult, over the winter. It's been dark, it's been cold, there's been snow, etc. Certainly for those of us in the northeast of Scotland. And it's altogether just been more challenging for people, I think. So what do you think, from your perspective, Nick, what is the impact of this, and why does it affect some people more than others? I think we see some people who are carrying on regardless, and other people who are dropping by the wayside, and the whole range in between those two.
Yeah, I think firstly, it's worth mentioning that the uncertainty, like you kind of pointed to in the introduction, Ken, it's kind of in all areas of our lives at the moment. Even with work, there's uncertainty about jobs. There's uncertainty about lots of aspects. It's not just about sport and obviously endurance athletes. I think the biggest problem is it kind of weighs on people's minds. It changes the way we think about things. It can change different emotions. We can start experiencing more anxiety, and even extreme, if you go to a sort of depression. So it's quite mentally exhausting. And I guess how it affects you depends on your personality and probably your mindset as well. So if we've got a really good mindset and we get ourselves in a position where we get motivation from the things that are important in our lives rather than from external factors such as getting appraisal from performing well, then we've got a better chance of actually pulling through these times of uncertainty. So I think there's lots of things that we can do, which we'll discuss as we go through this. But I think the main kind of effect is how it changes our focus on our day-to-day performance. And it was quite important what you said there, I think, about the time of year that we're in lockdown this year. People will probably find reasons not to train if there's uncertainty. They'll kind of get into this kind of vicious cycle of putting it off one day, then 2 days. Whereas last year, it was quite novel and we had more time to actually get out training. So uncertainty depends on the environment as well as the individual.
So yeah, I mean, I think this year that, you know, from the beginning of this year, the environment had a huge impact on us and the novelty's definitely worn off now. And I think, you know, people's general well-being increases that uncertainty round about sporting things. You know, if they're still feeling reasonably well and happy and motivated, the chances are they'll do their training. So there's probably a bunch of things in everyday life which actually can help with our motivation for our training and for our events and help us deal with the sporting uncertainty.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of that comes with experience and ability as well, doesn't it? A lot of people have developed strategies to cope with uncertainty, because uncertainty is nothing new. It's uncertainty is everywhere in life, like we say. And I don't really think there's anything certain in life. And perhaps the most certain thing in your life is yourself. So that's probably a key area to really focus on when we're talking about uncertainty, especially with things like endurance performance, where you've really got to put yourself on the line to achieve your goals.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's part of it, isn't it? But it's all about you. You've got to focus on yourself and what you can do and what you can achieve, rather than the things that you have no control over and which you can't control. So why do you think it has different impacts on different people and maybe different age groups? You know, maybe some age groups are better equipped to deal with the uncertainty they're facing than others.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually. I guess a lot with different age groups, especially the younger age groups, dealing with uncertainty is probably quite a novel thing to them. They're experiencing things for the first time, perhaps. They don't have past experiences to kind of build upon. And as you kind of go through your and progress through, I guess, your coaching ranks and through the amateur and almost to the top rank in amateurs, you kind of, there's a lot more at stake, I guess. You've kind of your motivation has kind of changed to a more to an achievement kind of factored motivation. Whereas I guess one of the things we need to do if we want to be able to create strategies to help us get through uncertainty is to go back to basics a bit more and look at how we can actually enjoy what we're doing and master what we're doing rather than actually focusing on the outcomes. So I think going back to the age group, the younger people perhaps are still enjoying the sport. They're doing it for an enjoyment factor. They're probably a little bit more resilient than adults. So I guess maybe adults need to maybe have a look at the younger generations and see why they're actually doing and this sport in day in, day out, rather than actually focusing on perhaps appraisal or from external factors.
So what do you think, Kevin, you know, from what you've seen of the people you're working with and coaching at the moment, you know, is there anything that jumps out that, you know, these people for any certain reason are maybe dealing better with the current situation than some others?
I mean, yeah, it varies. There's certainly kind of extremes on both sides, and I suppose having a variant of athletes kind of helps with that. And I suppose even, you know, we're not coaching Olympic athletes, you know, they probably had the worst case of, you know, those guys whose whole career and livelihood and ultimately their longer term dreams of going to Olympics, let alone winning, was made uncertain last year and even is still a bit uncertain right now, you know. But I think for athletes that we see day in, day out, is that some people take kind of one negative thing, whether that's a training session or the event moves by a couple of weeks or even the weather on race day, they react more negatively towards that than maybe someone else who doesn't mind when it's raining or doesn't mind if the event gets moved by a day or by a year. I certainly think there's certainly characteristic traits that I see that it's kind of trying to figure out who those people are and who's more susceptible to struggling with uncertainty and struggling with the things that if they get moved and they can't control, how do we add something into their training or add value to their training that actually they've got something that they can rely on that is actually a little bit more controllable and not just, oh, the event's not going ahead this year, now I'm not going to bother training for the next year until I'm guaranteed the event is going to go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's important, Kevin, there. I think actually just having these conversations is quite an important thing for the coach-athlete relationship. You might understand more about our athletes and where they're coming from with uncertainty and spot the warning signs of missing sessions or dropping below the level of performance that you're used to, and seeing some indicators that some aren't dealing with uncertainty better than others, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're seeing a whole range there. You know, the people who enjoy the training process and have been doing it for a long time generally are coping better than the people who are maybe focused on, I want to run one marathon or do one Ironman triathlon or whatever. And as they see that event moving, the uncertainty takes over and they tend to decide to take a break, and they'll probably come back to it at some point, but they'll come back from a position much further back than they were. The people who love the process and enjoy their training and like making those small steps are generally keeping going. They may be doing a little bit less than they would, but they're certainly still training and working on it.
So, yeah, I think that's I definitely think that's right. I think the way you view your training is probably very important to how you motivate yourself through these uncertain times, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I think last year, you know, a lot of people actually said to me that, you know, they were really enjoying their training, and because they were now working from home, they actually had a bit more time for training and they were really taking advantage of it. Not hearing that so much now, I don't think. So, you know, even though it's likely that events are actually closer now than they were last summer, there somehow seems to be more uncertainty now than there was then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think even when you start, you know, certainly something I was thinking about in the last couple of weeks is just even from a coaching perspective that with uncertainty is actually that all athletes go into any event. So even if the event goes ahead as normal, you go in with the uncertainty of, have I trained enough? Did I get my nutrition plan right? Is my kit going to be okay? Am I going to get a puncture? All these, you know, potential things, which I'm sure Nick can add into. But I was even thinking as a coach, I go through those things that if I've got an athlete racing, and probably more so with like bigger events, but if you've got an athlete racing and you're able to track them on the Ironman tracker or another system, is that you're kind of thinking, well, why has their bike slowed down? Actually, did we do enough bike volume? Did we do enough training? Have I tapered them properly? Have I given them the right tools? And I think that's something that probably coaches don't even speak about and don't even think about. How do we, within ourselves, is what can we do to reduce that on race day the athlete is able to kind of let go and fly rather than us worrying in the same way that they do?
Yeah, totally. And I think part of that is also accepting that everything is uncertain, isn't it? You have to accept that you might get a puncture. You have to accept that you're not going to be 100%. You might be 99%. So I think if you don't accept it and demand that everything has to be certain in a certain kind of way, then you're going to come a cropper and you're going to probably affect your well-being as well as your actual performance. Yeah.
Yeah, and those are all uncertainties. So what other tools can we have in our armory, Nick, to help us deal with, you know, at the moment, the uncertainty around whether events are going to take place and when they're going to take place, but also some of the uncertainties that we face going into any event. That, you know, there, as Kevin said, there's a whole range of uncertainties going into any event.
Yeah, I think it's quite a broad kind of a concept, uncertainty, isn't it? Because you can go into the finite detail, the small detail, and then you can go to the broad uncertainty, which is our annual lives of employment, events taking place, etc., etc. So I guess the first kind of stopping point from, we've already kind of touched on it, is to openly reflect on it, you know, discuss it, have these conversations with your coaches and come up with strategies to put in place and plan for uncertainty, accept it, plan for it and prepare for it. If things like this year, for example, don't always look like they might go ahead, I'm kind of hopeful myself that they're going to go ahead, but if they don't, then what can you do to prepare for it? One of the strategies I'm putting in place for my Ironman is booking another Ironman for next year, for 2022. And that's not the ideal solution, but it'll allow me to keep training, at least to have a focus for my training efforts rather than just letting them drift by the wayside. But I think one of the most important thing for me, which you kind of touched on, Ken, is how we use our goals. I want to call it mastery immersion, where we totally get into mastering the techniques and maybe a few PBs, get right down to the stuff that we can control in ourselves. For example, set a few short-term targets and goals with your clients rather than just focusing on this big event. So I guess another one also is what I like to call the big why. Why are we doing this? Again, it's all about reflection, writing down, getting stuff out of your head. Why are you actually doing this? Are you doing this for the external, or as you should be doing it, are you doing this for yourself? So if you're not doing it for yourself and you're not enjoying what you're doing, then perhaps we need to reflect and take stock and find ways of making your training and your preparation for big events more focused on yourself and the enjoyment factor from what you're getting out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting point, you know, in the different types of people that we see. You know, you see some athletes who are very externally motivated, and actually they love the group training sessions and they like to be out training with other people and they enjoy that side of it. And others who are actually quite happy to go out there and do it on their own because they're doing it for themselves. They're not too concerned about everybody else's view of it, that they're quite happy with what they're doing for themselves. And I think, again, they're probably coping better at the moment when obviously there's no group training taking place.
Yeah, I guess that hits another kind of area of some people do these activities to belong, to be part of something and be part of the group, which is a great motivator as well. But like you say, when you hit these points where you have to get the hours in yourself and you have to push through the darker nights of winter when there is uncertainty, then it's worthwhile looking at yourself and seeing how you can improve your own intrinsic motivation, definitely.
Yeah. So any tips for doing that?
Oh, lots of reflection, lots of testing the water, focus on something that you're perhaps not your best at for your performance. For me, my running is probably my worst aspect. So I've put in a new 10K challenge into my weekly training to see if I can get my pace up with my 10K. And the last couple of weeks I have done it, it's made me feel really good about running. So maybe come up with something focused on the technique with the lighter days coming up. Maybe get some technique training on the bike going and see if you can smash a PB. Do something that's rewarding to yourself, obviously in line with your coach's recommendations.
But yeah,
I think you were speaking about goals as you know, shorter term goals, which is obviously really critical to Schneider. But I think even a lot of athletes and even coaches don't define goals well enough, where we set the goal that, right, I want to improve my 5K. Say you run 25 minutes and you want to run under 24 minutes. Now, that's obviously a goal you want to achieve, but that's uncertain in itself, because even by doing certain sessions that you think are the best sessions that are going to get that result, they might still not return a 24-minute 5K. You might improve, but I think it's then how do we break goals down? And that's certainly something I've been thinking a lot more into and starting to add into training plans, is that what is the workout focus and what is the workout goal? So it's then that, right, in 6 weeks' time, we want to run a 5K and we want to try and run it as close to 24 minutes. But for the next 6 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to try and run three times a week and we're going to focus on this element. It might be our technique, or it might be being able to get the right feel of pace. So that might be doing some intervals, getting used to running at that pace, and trying to break the goal down into really small chunks so that actually all I can do on the day that I run my 5K or the day that my race goes ahead is that all I've done is everything in my power. So I've controlled every day, I've done what I said I would do. The end result almost doesn't matter. It's, I think that actually I can look back and, well, I got pretty close, but then I've now learned so much more than just saying, oh, I want to run 24. I haven't run 24. Now I'm annoyed. Now I want to do something totally different. And then you end up that you leave and back off, and you might have been two steps away from achieving the goal. It might just not have been on that day, but the problem is you're now almost psyched yourself out of it, so that you then end up, don't even try again to try and get that next chunk off the time or whatever. And I think that is quite difficult. And I think a lot of people don't do it well, which is why you end up with more uncertainty and people get more frustrated with things when they become uncertain.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, because that kind of ties in with, again, the well-being aspect, where we often put massive demands on ourselves. We must do something. Things should be the way they are. And if they're not, then it causes us angst, you know, and it really upsets us. So, yeah, placing massive demands on ourselves, sometimes it's better to have what we call unconditional self-acceptance, where, oh yeah, we want to do well, we want to smash a time and perform to our goals, but if they don't, then hey, we're fallible human beings, you know, it's not always going to go to plan. If we put demands on us then and we don't meet them, then we're going to cause ourselves anxiety, which is going to affect our performance 10 times worse. So yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, okay, so just to try and review some of that, guys, I think we've got some good thoughts and suggestions in there. You know, I think the key message which I'm starting to take away from what we've discussed is that you need to be enjoying your training journey, having a few smaller goals to aim for, even if that's the number of sessions you're going to do every week that makes you feel good at the end of the week. It's small improvement. It's maybe thinking about your run technique and just working every session on trying to improve that. That's maybe something Nick and I both need to be working on from the discussion we've just had, and enjoy that journey. Enjoy the journey of training without being too focused on what's the ultimate outcome goal at the end of it. Enjoy the process, enjoy the journey, and enjoy being outside, getting some exercise and feeling good. And don't stress about the things that we can't control. Actually, we can't control whether Ironman events are going to go ahead this summer or not. So there's very little point in us worrying about it. We're far better to focus our time on the things which we can control, because we'll take far more away from controlling those things as best we can and keeping moving forward. Anybody got anything else we want to add on to that? Just as a closing comment?
It just is a very kind of follow-on from that, Ken. I think that's totally right. Like I said in the main content there, you're the most certain thing in your performance. And if you want to overcome uncertainty, you have to take control and own uncertainty and accept uncertainty rather than allowing it to prey on your mind and causing you to drop your performance. So take ownership of it and do something about it if it is bothering you. Yeah.
And that goes for everything else in your life as well, because actually if you're taking control of all your other life's uncertainties, that will help you with the sporting uncertainties, and it's more likely you'll get out and get the sessions done and feel better about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kevin. Just going to add into that, and I suppose it's just kind of the taking control of it, but the kind of way I always like to think about it, even personally, is that it's, can I lay one good brick today that sets me on the path of where I'm trying to get to? And, you know, some days, and again, you don't even need to define what those bricks are. Those bricks don't necessarily need to be training sessions. That might be that my brick today is I need to rest. My brick today is I need to stretch, or my brick today is I need to make sure I do more of my work so I'm free tomorrow to go and do the training that I want to do. I think the problem is we're always just looking at, right, we want to do huge, we want to lay slabs of concrete along the way. And actually what we find is by laying these big slabs, a lot of them will end up cracking because they haven't been placed sufficiently. Whereas if we just put one brick down each day, every day, consistently over time, that's really what's going to get us along wherever we're trying to head to.
Yeah, totally. And what another analogy, which if you look at, say, the workplace, uncertainty in lots of people's jobs at the moment, is if you have a contract which is probably going to expire in, say, 8 months' time, what do you do? Do you sit and worry about uncertainty? Or do you actually get out there and do something and better yourself and make yourself more saleable for when that point actually comes? a person who wants to keep their job or make sure they perform really well at an endurance event will lay these bricks that you mentioned, Kevin. Yeah.
I think, you know, at times like this, there's always a tendency to focus on the problems and lose sight of the solutions. You know, you wake up every morning and try and think up what's the biggest problem I've got to face at the moment, rather than thinking about all the good positive things that are going on. And it's very easy just to get bogged down in that rather than controlling, you know, the things you can control, working on them, improving them, and keeping moving forward.
Yeah. And I think just to kind of summarize that, I suppose, and with the solution side, it's actually, and that's probably something I'm going to probably take forward and actually just have conversations with athletes that actually don't come to me with problems, come to me with the problem and at least one solution. So that, because the problem is everybody likes to just create the problem. And as Ken says, like, it's just, what's the problem? It's actually take ownership of it and actually, right, this is the problem. I'm not a good runner, right? The solution is, what I think I need to do is this. And at least then you can have dialogue and come up with a plan rather than just saying, well, I'm not a good runner, because that doesn't really progress us in any form. And I think that's certainly something I want to challenge myself and challenge even athletes that I coach more into, being solution providers, not problem providers.
Yeah, right. Try and find your own solutions rather than passing your problems on to somebody else to solve for you. If you can solve your own problems, then so much the better.
Yeah, a great way of looking at that solution, what you call solution-focused approach, Kevin, is to ask the miracle question is, if you was to wake up tomorrow, what would have changed in your life to make everything 100% better? And see where you find, see what you find from that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great approach. Okay, so just to close out there, guys, that's a really good discussion, I think, and hopefully people will find that helpful. I think the key takeaways are, enjoy the journey you're on. Try and focus on the good things and not the bad things, and focus on the things that you can control. And if there are problems in the areas that you can control, then get out there and try and solve them. If you need help from somebody, go and ask somebody for some help. Be that a coach, somebody who can help you with the sports psychology side of it, or whatever. Go get out there and find somebody who can help you.